Good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's so awesome to have you here this morning. We are very privileged to be here because we know the reason that we're here is because of God's love for us, but more than that, because He's here with us. There's something special that happens when we come together as church. It's God's heart, His passion, His desire for us to come together because we love Him, because He loves us, and because He's here with us. So I want to welcome all of you here, and we trust that you will enjoy the day with us as we just fellowship with each other and also with Him, and really open our hearts to receive that what He wants to share with us through His Word. And I want to really encourage you this morning to really just open your hearts to receive what the Lord wants to speak to us through His Word. And we're also very privileged to have Zamar here with us. Thank you guys for blessing us last night and also today. I really have a special anointing, but also desire just to magnify and glorify God through worship, through their talents, through music, and we're very privileged to have you here. Thank you so much for ministering to us, and we trust that the Lord will also speak through you to us. And then, of course, Usher is a bell, and Johnny is also a bell, and there's a relation there. He's one of the many children. So we're very privileged to have him here, and Johnny is also sharing the word afterwards, so it's a bell festival. We've got all the bells and whistles here. So it's great the little whistles are sitting there next to. There we go. So it's great to have you here. We trust that you'll have an awesome morning with us. We just have a few announcements, and then let me first pray for the offering. Let me pray for the offering, and then we can just watch the announcements. Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you. It's a day that you have made. Your mercies are new every day. And you are faithful. God, you are faithful. Lord, we thank you for the health, the strength that we have to come together today and worship you. And Lord, we pray that as we do, that you will come and meet with each and everyone in a very special way. Lord, we thank you for that, what we can give. Lord, we pray that you will bless it, that it will extend your glory and your kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One more announcement. If you're here for the very first time, would love just to welcome you and give you something. Is there anybody here for the very first time? Anybody here? There we go. Let's just give them a warm welcome. If you could just keep your hand raised just for a second longer. There's somebody that would want to give you something. More information about who we are. And there's even a chocolate inside if you can find it. Then also, last Sunday, we had a number of baptisms. There was almost 20 people being baptized last Sunday. This Sunday, there's also about 5 or 6 being baptized. So we would really like to invite you to come and join us after the service. We're going to baptize in the Old Harbor. So if you can, be part of this amazing testimony of just God's church that is alive. People are being saved. People surrender their lives to Him fully. And it's a powerful opportunity for us to come together and just celebrate, but also testify that Jesus is alive, His kingdom is growing, and we have an opportunity to testify of that. So I want to really invite you after the church. I'll announce the time depending on what time we finish. Just come and join us if you can. It will be awesome. And now for the rest of the announcements.
Welcome, church, and thank you for joining us.
Especially welcome to all the first-time visitors. Please fill in your first-time visitors card and drop it in the offering or at the office after the service.
We have a super exciting month coming up.
So let's see what's happening this month.
Join us for intercession on Sunday mornings at 8 till 9 and on Tuesday mornings from 6 to 6:45. Our small groups gather every week, and if you would like to join a small group, please see our leadership wall at the back of the church after the service. Attention all teenagers! Friday nights at 6 o'clock we have Amplified Youth at church, so if you're between the ages of 13 and 19, please contact Hendrik or Tabitha for more information. See you there! We are so excited for our monthly baptism service coming up at the end of the month, directly after the morning service. So, if you have decided, please contact us at the office or leave your name at the info table after the service.
I think unconsciously, the dream that we've developed for our kids is kind of the American dream instead of the biblical dream. And my dream would be that parents would realize what really matters as a mom, as a dad, is you need to walk with God and that your kid's fulfilling God's purpose. And if they fulfill God's purpose, it's amazing. Your kids are going to end up happy and fruitful and the kind of kids you really want. I think it's going to give people hope because they're going to get windows of how do you do it. Not just steps, but how do you talk with your kid when you find out that they're in a relationship that's unhealthy? How do you deal with the issue when you're married and you both love one another and you totally disagree with how we ought to discipline with one of our kids? What do you do when you find out as a parent you're the problem and you've got to deal with your issues? So I think it's going to be a window that will help people in their own life, and they'll learn how to do it because they'll get some pictures that are very, very practical.
Church, get your own hashtag Known for Love t-shirt.
For only 130 Rand at the office.
Calling all our seniors in church, if you are over the age of 60, we would love for you to join us every first Thursday of the month at Golden Youth here at church. For more information, please contact Luzelle after the service. Men's Camp 2019. Attention all the manne, presenting Authentic Manhood by guest speaker Rickert Botha. From the 31st of May to the 2nd of July at Hermanus Pietersfontein Farm in Sondagskloof. The costs are 350 Rand per person and there are limited spots. Registration info at the office.
And that's all for now, church.
Please join us at the back of the church for some awesome coffee and refreshments.
Sorry, voor King Judah kom, kom julle, al die kids. Voor King Judah, ons gaan hom roep, dan gaan al die kids uit. Kom ons sing, Christian, kom. Kom, Nika, Karo, kom. Al die kids, kom, julle moet so my voorkom staan, van die af, raad julle recht. Is julle recht? Kom allemaal voor. Julle staan hier, staan hier voor, is julle recht? 1, 2, 3, 4.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh, oh, oh.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Christian, take it away.
On a Monday,
gonna let it shine.
On Tuesday,
gonna let it shine.
On Thursday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Thursday,
oh yeah.
Friday,
gonna let it shine.
On Saturday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Sunday morning, gonna praise the Lord. Let my little light shine. This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine.
On Monday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Tuesday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Wednesday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Thursday,
oh yeah.
On Friday,
gonna let it shine.
On a Saturday,
on a Sunday morning, gonna praise the Lord. Let my little light shine.
Last again.
This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine.
Julle moet hom roep. Roep King Judah se terug.
Kom liefie kruile.
1, 2, 3. Hoe neem jy nou oor by daai beat? Ah, sorry. King Lion is pumping. what an incredible just time that we can worship the Lord. En ek wil sê, daar is geen godsdienst vir hom, hoe ons dit moet doen nie. En ons gaan net om aanbid. It's not by and through information, it's by revelation. That this morning that he wants to touch our hearts. So if you sit and if you staan, die Here leef ook net in 'n hoendervleis nie. Oh, you say, hallelujah. I feel good. Yeah. It's by faith. So this morning, hak ons aan die waarheid. The truth, the way, and the life, and the light. Is die lokomotief. And it's by faith. And then feelings will follow. Is mos nie lekker om te swat vir eksamen nie. You don't feel like it. Maar as jy deur gekom het, I feel good. En dieselfde, some of us, Ons kom in miskien, maybe was daar 'n ploffing by die huis of in die kar het julle 'n paar mooi gevleelde woorde vir mekaar gehad. Soos ek en Veronica, ons is getroud by die vier kinders. Dan doen ons then we do praise and worship. And behind the curtain is Christian nog smal in die kind word hierso. Dan sê ons agter die behind the curtain, jy sien nie vir my nie, ek sien vir jou. Jy gaan dit jy sien as ons uitkom, kom ons loof die Here. Dan storm ek weer agter in the break in this advertisement so hoorde, dan sê ek Veronica, luister vir my en dit sal goed gaan met jou. Dan is weer uit. Jesus werk in ons hart. But as Andre said, the focus and the glory, everything belongs to Him. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how you feel. Kom ons rig ons gedagtes op die dinge van wat daar bo is. Dit is everything that is from above. Sê net Here, hier's ek. The qualifying word is Lord, here am I. That's it. Don't have to feel anything. Don't have to hear anything. Here am I. Ek is net hier, Here. Ek gee myself vir U. And while we play this song, it's just like, say there's an intro of so net. Hearing this song, it's net, as iemand wat jou hands up and say, I give up. Ek gee oor. My bekommernis oor my finansies, my bekommernis oor my gesin, of miskien my seun, my dogter, of my werksomstandighede, I give up. No information, just revelation. Here kom openbaar u hart vir my. Dit is nou bid, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. Thank you that nobody has to touch us. Niemand op ons hand oplê. U is hier. En u sê, as ons u aanroep, dan hoor u. And we call on your name, Lord. We call on the name of ons ontvang net vir oggend so. Heilig is die Lam. Worthy is the Lamb. Waardig is die Lam, Heer. Waardig is die Lam. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Sed a la dacia. Qui amado soy yo. De dos a dalo. Amada soy yo, y da docina, y da sola. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the Lord your God. I am in your midst. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the Lord your God. I am who I am. Waardig is die Lam. Waardig is die Lam. U is heilig.
Worthy, you are worthy.
get it. There is power. There is power at the sound of your name, Jesus.
Naam van Jesus.
There is power. There is power at the sound of your name.
There is power.
There is power. There is power at the sound of your name.
Jesus, there is power.
Jesus. Sound of your name.
All arise.
All arise at the name of our Savior, who is worthy. You are worthy. Yours alone, the Almighty, who is worthy, you are worthy.
Oh, the Lord, you are worthy.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you'd my cross. You lay down your life. That we would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Kom, ons sê dit vir die Here.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would let down. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
One time, this is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Praising you heavens and all that's above. Praising you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praising the sun, moon and bright shining stars. Praising you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise.
Come on, y'all.
Great
receive, King of heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King over all the earth. Praise Him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise Him, you angels and heavenly host. Let the whole earth praise Him. Praise Him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise Him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the
holy name, all for your glory. Lord, we bring blessing. We seek to honor you all of our days. We lift our hands, we lift our praise to you, we worship all. Sound so feeble that it will be a sweet fragrance in your nostrils. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just listen to this ministry in song. Listen carefully to the words.
comforts me from the ends of the earth to the depths of my heart. Let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God.
Everybody. You know, the past few weeks we've been so blessed, or at least I've been so blessed by the series that Andries preached on what church is about. And even in our Bible study on Wednesday mornings, it was 1 John, and over, virtually every paragraph is about loving God, loving each other. Of course, the Bible says, by our love, the world will know that God is among us. Yet, we can't just attend every Sunday morning service, hugging, singing, it's love, that makes the world go round or bind us together, Lord, because love acts. And what do we do as Christians after we leave this building? This morning, the Lord has really laid it on my heart to continue on the same theme that Andres had. That's his evangelism. So the title of my message this morning is Just Do It. Now, don't worry, don't panic. I've got Nike's permission to use this slogan on the condition that I use the slogan quite often in the message. So that's our agreement. So just be at peace. Okay. First scripture I want to read to you is from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19 from the New King James, because I'm going to read this in another translation as well. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the breadth, the height, and the length, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation as well. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. My brothers and sisters, what is this fullness of God? We play with important tools that God has given us, like speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing, casting out of demons, etc. But what he really desires is that we would be filled with the breadth, length, height, and depth of the love of God that passes all knowledge. Sadly, yet all these gifts that I mentioned seem to be phased out of our meetings, let alone their use in the marketplace. And we have settled for a few goosebumps now and then we testify that we've experienced the presence of God. Now, Ephesians 3 verse 19 is absolutely awesome in the Greek language concerning this issue of fullness. Are there any Greeks speaking people here? If there are, just block your ears, because otherwise you'll think I'm trying to murder your language. All right. Because this is a long sentence. It says, eis pan to pleroma tau theou. But what it means is this, that we may become a body wholly flooded, that we may become a body wholly flooded and filled by God. Every pore of this body vibrating with the creative power of the Trinity. Total commitment. In other words, my brothers and sisters, that we would be replacing missing body parts that we would turn spoken words into reality and moving medical mountains. And embracing and understanding fullness is our path towards possessing the signs and wonders, the mark of Acts 2 verse 22. That says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. And that same mark or attestation is to be upon believers, according to Mark's account of the Great Commission, Mark 16, verse 15. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Ephesians outlines the path to receiving this mark. Actually, I should stop right there. Dismiss us and go and rethink our lives at home. Where do we stand? Are we experiencing any of this in our lives? And my brothers and sisters, I'm not pointing a finger at you, because three fingers are pointing back at myself. Because the same, or shall I say this, are you also tired of a cultural Christianity that is powerless and devoid of authenticity? The same mark that was on Jesus, but we have become so seeker sensitive that we don't dare operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Right, this is as heavy as it gets. My wife always reminds me, says Jesus always told stories so that people could better understand. Because I'm not intending to bring condemnation, but encouragement this morning. Now Luke 13 verse 11 to 16 says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from the bond of this, on the Sabbath? Now this is an excellent example of the true Christian world versus the religious world. Religious makes the gospel powerless. For instance, the scribes, they knew exactly the day and the place where Jesus was to be born. They knew that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but none of them went there to worship and welcome him. I remember here in the early 80s, this was on the peak of the charismatic revival. There was a very well-known speaker, Malcolm Smith, and God was at that time working powerfully among the plebs, you know, like us, you know, the ordinary people, and not among the clergy of the established churches. And he addressed a crowd of ministers and priests and bishops on the person of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They wanted, after his teaching, to discuss and pull apart what he had been teaching them. But he challenged them and said this, if what I have said is true and you are convinced, are you prepared to sit that I lay hands on you and pray for you? They all vanished into thin air. If you cannot demonstrate the gospel, you cannot preach the gospel. I know this is a very statement, but please see this in the context of religion versus true Christianity. There are so many ways and opportunities virtually every day where we can demonstrate the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is so dangerous. Religion would rather debate about healing than see someone healed. Religion would rather debate the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or it ended when the last apostle died, dispensationalism, rather than be prayed for. Religion would rather argue about deliverance than see somebody set free. And we've just read here in Luke 13, Jesus healed a woman who had been bound for over 18 years. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham, set free after being bound by the devil for nearly 2 decades. You would think that the temple rulers would have been overjoyed and rejoicing of what Jesus had done. But no, they were angry because he did it on the wrong day. And do you know what is worse? The very same religious leaders who criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath could have ministered healing to that woman themselves on any of the other 6 days of the week, if only they had cared enough to do it. But aren't we just a little bit just like them? We invite people to come to our healing services. Why don't you just do it yourself instead of inviting people on a Sunday? That is why Jesus was so indignant with them. They had the same covenant of Abraham as Jesus, but their religion kept that woman bound instead of setting her free. It always does. Don't get sidetracked into a religious debate about healing or deliverance or other theological challenges. If someone needs to be delivered from a demon, just do it. Don't get confused over theological questions about where the demon is. Is a person being oppressed or possessed? While we are arguing about this question, questions like that, the demon will be driving this guy up the wall, man. The question is not, where is the demon? The question is, why haven't we gotten this man delivered? He is our blood brother in Christ and ought to be free. Once you start asking that question, you won't care whether the demon is inside or outside, hovering or underneath. All you care is getting that person free. Religion argues, but love acts. Acts 1 verse 8. Be my witnesses. Sometimes actions do speak louder than words. I have this favorite song, the Gaithers sing it. It's all about what church is about. It's loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. But then he goes on, verses this. We tend to make it harder, building steeples out of stone, filling books with explanations of the way. But if you would just stop and listen, you would hear the master say, it's loving God, loving each other. But love acts, my brother and sister. Jesus even said about your enemies, it's not a sloppy love and a drooling all over them, your enemies, but if he's thirsty, give him a drink. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's naked, clothe him. Just to be. Not performance. To try and perform and work for God is hard work. So many of us fall into the trap. We think we're not doing enough for God. And then we go and do things that God never called us to do just to have a nicer Christian CV. But when I relax and become a co-worker with Christ, take his yoke upon me and learn from him, life becomes an exciting journey. When Delisi and I got the call to go to the Ukraine, the missions organization sent us a questionnaire, and one of the questions were, what is your ministry? Now, we really didn't know. we were just loving God and loving people. So I wrote back to them, I'm a very emotional man and I cry very easily. My wife has got a very infectious laughter. If you can use that, we're prepared to come. So they must have been very, very desperate, because after a while they said, we believe we can use your ministry, please come. But my brothers and sisters, you cannot be unless you have a personal, intimate, vibrant relationship with the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ. The Lord took us to Ukraine to teach me, or reveal to me, the most important lesson that I've ever learned, and that was to be continually conscious of Christ in me before I could hope to be a witness on the mission field and at home. Because out of my relationship with Him flows all these other things. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. These days, these are the days that to learn more perfectly how to enter into God's rest and cease from programs to make our church look successful in our eyes. Now, Andres has warned me, never get into your pet topics. But this is, I couldn't resist this one. Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. Because here, when I read from the New Testament, New Living Translation, about the fullness of God, the heading there is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. This is, and Galatians 1, 15 and 16 has all to do with spiritual growth. It says, but when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. Now, some translations, New Living Testament also, when it pleased God to reveal His Son to me. But the real one is to reveal when God's Son is revealed in me. People want to see God. Where will they see Him? Except, where will they see Him, experience Him? Except in His body, in you and me. Nothing else gives God the Father so much joy and pleasure than to see His Son revealed in us. For what reason? Only one reason. So that I may preach the gospel to the heathen. And I add, so that I may demonstrate the gospel to the heathen. Listen, guys. Do you realize that because of Christ in us, we create sacred space wherever we go? My broer en suster, ek en jy durf nie twee rye spore stap nie. Ek kan nie 'n Sondag masker aan hê en die week 'n ander masker hê nie. Jesus called those hypocrites because they used different masks for every occasion. I must become less so that He can become more. It's no use singing, give me more of you. He never gave only part of Himself to you. If you want more of Him, you have got to become less to make more room for Him. True Christianity is nothing less than total commitment. Death cures everything. To die to self until all that is left is His glory. In other words, His character, His personality, and His nature to be seen in you. We have to die to all our plans, desires, ambitions, possessions, until it does not matter whatsoever what God wants to do with your life. Just to be Christ to others. I'm just going to give you a few short testimonies. What we experience, especially on the mission field. See, we faithfully attend every Sunday morning church service with joy and great expectation that something wonderful might happen. New people coming into the kingdom, conversion, salvations, healing, prophecy. Of course, that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But we tend to miss so many small burning bushes, God moments, or opportunities to be every day, everywhere we go during the week. Now, we were quite a big contingent of missionaries, South African missionaries, in our group. And we received so many visiting groups from South Africa that we had a very good relationship, an open relationship with our embassy, South African embassy there. And so one day we get a telephone call, and they invited us to a party. Of course, we knew that, you know, they were feeling sorry for us. They're going to have a braai, and then afterwards they will show us an old rugby video where we Springboks still beat the All Blacks. So we went prepared for that, and we all wore our track suits and tackies, and my wife was quite decently dressed, and so we rock up there. My goodness, it was a party for all the ambassadors in the city. And here we were huddled, was Lexus Popos Arsenal Nuke, and all these people smartly dressed in tuxedos and tails, and what, oh, it was a horrible feeling. But in any case, this must have been the first party that the South African embassy had ever given, because you could see that they didn't know exactly where they were. So there was a big foyer, and as all the dignitaries arrived, their whole staff was there gathered, you know, greeting. But in this huge hall where all the drinks and the eats were, there was nobody there. So a couple would come through, they would stand around there lost. And that is where my wife saw her opportunity. And then she would take the French ambassador's wife and then introduce them to the Zimbabwean president and ambassador's wife. And then she would take the Italian ambassador and his wife and go introduce him to them. And it was a bus, and everybody was talking and laughing. And everybody was admiring this new staff member of the South African embassy. And everybody was so excited. It was just too wonderful. But you know, none of the South African staff reprimanded her or stopped her, because they recognized a gift. And they appreciated that, until the ambassador's wife shouted, "Mrs. Bell, Mrs. Bell, call our people together. The Pop and Buddha Wash has arrived." And what a wonderful testimony. Now, our door is open. Anytime we go into the embassy, we pray for the staff. We pray with the staff, and we chat with the ambassador. We are, man, net so, under be blast, net so. Another one. We I had to go and interview a young pastor who needed some assistance from South Africa in a town called Kazatan. And our interpreter says, "Please, we must go to the hospital there." She wants to introduce us to the chief superintendent of the hospital. He's a surgeon. His name is Volodya. And it was an old school friend of hers, and we had to go and meet him. So we went in there, short little guy, very athletic and lively. And he told us his whole story there. The hospital was, he took us into a room about this size, and it was just Bunsen burners and primer stoves cooking and boiling. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I haven't got one tablet, no injections, nothing, no painkillers. We dug up roots, we cut bark, we picked leaves, and I'm brewing medicine." It's a 500-bed hospital, huge. Every speciality is in that hospital. And I said, "But it's just no medicine." She says, "Nothing. But the hospital is impeccable. It's so clean. You could eat off the floor. And the staff are so friendly. But they haven't been paid for 6 months. Yet if they resign, they will never get a job again. So they keep on working, because at least that gives them a bit of pride and self-worth. So in any case, then he took us around to all the heads of the departments, you know. And everywhere, Deleuze and I, we just chatted to them, patted them on the back, and we laughed and told jokes. And when we looked behind us, there was a string of these specialists walking behind us, going to the next one, to the next room, to the next department. And so eventually we went back to the office, and Dr. Volodya said, "You must excuse me, but I've got to go and work now." I said, "Do you mind if I just use your office? I've got this guy to speak to interview him." He said, "No, go ahead." I said, "But just before you go, can we pray for you?" He says, no, please not. I don't believe in God, and I don't believe any of the stuff. I said, "That's fine. You just sit and we'll pray for you." So he went and sat down reluctantly. Now he's looking at me and the interpreter. And so we just prayed for their salaries, and we prayed for everything that was gone wrong in the hospital and whatnot, and for supplies for medicine to come. And he jumped up and he was off. So I had the interview with the pastor, and half an hour later, he's back. He says, "I didn't go and work. I called my old staff together. And I told them what you did, what you said, and what you prayed for." So we did. He says, "They say they've never experienced so much joy and laughter in their lives in this hospital." He says, "Whenever you and Delesti want to come to this town again, come and sleep. We've always got a place in the hospital for you." We did it once, but our room was right next to the psychiatric department, and that was a night where we never slept that whole night. But in any case, it was about a month later, I get a phone call. It was Volodya. He says, "Johnny, guess what? We received our full 6 months of pay." He says, "And they want to tell me that there is no God." I said, "No, my mate, you said it yourself." And we became friends, and Delis and I started smuggling medicine to that hospital. I'll tell you what, we did like Brother Andrew did, you know, God smuggler, when he smuggled Bibles. "Lord, just make them blind, let them don't see the Bibles." Because there was 5,000, 10 or 5,000 of this, 10 or 5,000 of this, and some drugs that are illegal there. We took over, and everybody just turned a blind eye. And we supplied that hospital. But, this one I must tell you. Now, my friend, another South African, myself, and interpreter, we went out for a weekend of ministry, and then the evening we got on the train, the Sunday evening, to travel back to Kiev. And as we got into the compartment, now there, of course, men and women all mixed up. It's not men separate and women separate. So there was a lady sitting on the top bunk with her feet dangling down reading a book. And as the custom is, whenever we get into a compartment, I introduce ourselves to them. And I would say, "Dobre večer," good evening. "Maya savut eta Johnny Bell." "Yes, Mayo kolokol ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, Johnny Bell." "Oh, yeah, okay." And then I say, "Please excuse me, my Russian is rotten, and if you don't talk slowly, I won't be able to understand you." "Yes, Nichivo, don't worry." So we started chatting about the wonderful time of ministry we had, the response of the people, how many people gave their lives to God, and the healings that took place. And I watched her. She was sort of, I said in Afrikaans to my friend, "Sy jong, hierdie koekie, sy verstaan alles wat ons sê, hoor. Jy moet oppas wat jy sê. Sy verstaan alles." And so we carried on. Eventually, she couldn't take it anymore. She says, "I'm sorry, but all this you're talking about God is the purest, biggest nonsense. I don't believe at all." So I said, "I'm sorry that we offended you. said, but you know, this is our life. Christ has become our life. That's all we can talk about. And she says, all right. It was quiet. There was quiet for a few minutes. And then my friend started telling us about how his father died. His father was a dedicated Christian, but he was so weak, he couldn't raise himself at all. He was just lying there, and he was encouraging his father and talking to father, loving him. Because all of a sudden, his father sat up straight, and he says, look, there they are. They've come to fetch me. And he fell back, and he died. And I looked up at this doctor, and the tears were... I said, Dr. Tanya, do you want Jesus? She says, please, please, I need Jesus. And we led her to the Lord. Every time we traveled by train, that compartment became a little cell meeting. And then just this last one. The other day, my wife went to the mall. She was there a bit early. The shops hadn't opened, only opened at about 9 o'clock. This is about 8:30. And as she walked past Fushini's, the door was open. But there the staff was all standing in a circle. And so she went in. She says, oh, you're all ready to serve me, all of you. They said, no, we're having a staff meeting. She says, do you mind if I pray for you? And the staff meeting turned into a prayer meeting. Just doing it, grasping every opportunity that you get to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Ah, I've got so many stories, but I haven't got the time. You know, there are no superheroes in the Christian family. Those who seem to be heroes in our eyes, they are just being faithful to God's purposes for their lives on earth. Now, every child of God doesn't want to sin. And if we do sin, we are very quick to repent and ask for forgiveness. For instance, bad words, bad thoughts, temper, gossip, white lie, bitterness, and maybe racism. But there is one sin which most of us are guilty of. And yet we never bother to confess and ask forgiveness. And that is found in James 4, verse 17. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. If you see someone in need and God speaks to you and you don't help, it's a sin. If you see somebody sick, God forbid, even in a wheelchair, and God says, pray for that person, and you don't do it, it's a sin. Just make sure that it is God speaking to you. So if he tells you, fill that cistern with water, I'm going to change it into wine, just do it. But as I said, make sure that it is God speaking to you. All right. Never underestimate the impression you may make on others. My brothers and sisters, whose life have you touched this past week? Or even maybe this morning? Now, just ending, I'm just going to give you a few practical tips. Be a person people can relate to. Represent Jesus, not your church. This is how we do it at our church. No, your identity shouldn't be in shofar, but in Christ. Be my witnesses in all the world, Jesus said. Second one, be a listener. Christians like talking. It is a major illness with us. And there is a time to talk, to share, but also a time to listen. James says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Especially people who don't relate to your faith and your church. I've heard someone say, I've got such a good message, but no one wants to listen. Maybe I should listen first. Give them a gift, your time. Earn the respect. It is easy to relate to someone who is ready to hear. Is that not the basic principle in counseling? Third one is, use a language people can understand. Use everyday language, not Christianese. Now imagine me and addressing an unbeliever or a church Christian. And you said to him, when I was still in the world, I was thinking fleshly. Man, his eyes just crossed like this. Where or what are you now? Or we are so quick to say, the Lord spoke to me the other day. He speaks to the Lord. That's spooky. Language is the number one medium for communication. Your language can even separate your extended family. In our family, we've got quite a few doctors. And it is a no-no to throw around medical terms around in our conversations when we come together as a family. Because the rest of us feel like pawpaws if they start chatting to one another. Now, even in shofar circles, the use of abbreviations and language. Hey, so where have you been the past few months? Oh, I was doing MTP, of course. This was after I did Foundations 1, 2, and 3. And this guy looks, I haven't a clue, MTP. I just read from NLT or the MSG. I might as well say KLM and XYZ, you know. We are holy and that is separated, but we must be able to communicate. Just try reading the directions or on electronic equipment, on this VCR or TV or computer. The manufacturers forget we are not all electronic freaks. Now this one I must tell you, this is maybe the extreme, but this is the best one to prove my point. It's from Matthew 16. I got this from Holy Humor Cartoon. So I didn't think it up myself. Jesus asks Peter, who do men say I am? And the cartoon went like this. Jesus, whom do men say I am? Peter, you are the supernatural manifestation of the ontological ground of being, a new metaphysical rubric by which our leap of faith is channeled into helpful societal dialectics. Jesus says, I am who? And he straightaway charged him to tell no man concerning who he was. Now someone said, God puts the cookies on the bottom shelf so everyone can reach them. We may feel overly impressed with ourselves for putting our ideas and vocabulary out of the reach of average believers. But if we do, they will not have the equipment they need to fight the enemy in their hour of crisis. Be friendly. We don't have time to be friendly. The fruit of the Spirit is, laat julle vriendelikheid aan almal bekend wees. Die Here is naby. Nobody can be unfriendly to someone who is smiling. But there are so many of God's dear children walking around looking as if they've been baptized in lemon juice. Now, what prevents you from just doing it? Is it fear of rejection? Fear of no results, especially when I have to pray for healing? Or what happens with unanswered prayers? Am I making a fool of myself? My brothers and sisters, I challenge you, let us be fools for Jesus Christ. Or the bottom line, we're also in intercession this morning. Or are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because the gospel is only for Sunday morning and not for everyday use during my life. The power of the gospel is in simplicity. Just do it. Of course, there are times when we need to call in these specialists to step in certain circumstances, and we need to recognize our shortcomings and our giftings in ministry. But in 90% of the time, my brothers and sisters, just do it. He who dwells in you will do it. All you and I have to do is obey. There are difficult times ahead, and for all of us, fear and faith cannot be harbored in the same heart. Live and walk in the Spirit, not by power or by might, but by His Spirit. Just do it. Man, there'll be no monotony in your life, but excitement. Every day that when you leave your house, the chief demon over Hermanus must send a bulk SMS to all his minor demons saying, Andries has just left his home. Action stations, don't let them just do it. Prevent him from doing it at all cost. Now then, and finally in closing, I hope they won't mind, but just about Andries and Lisa. We are so blessed to have a couple like them leading this church. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a long time since I've heard such good teachings as from Andries. However, one day, Andries' ministry, when he stands before Christ, will not be judged by the crowds he drew to this auditorium because of his fantastic teaching. But his ministry will be judged by what this crowd did when we left this building. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' measure of a successful church is not seating capacity, but it is sending capacity. And none of us have the excuse, this is not my ministry. Every one of us have received the same mandate. Go. And in your going, God starts doing miracles. Also, the leadership of this team. We are not here to see how much work you do for God. But our duty is to see how much of God can be seen in you. Back to 1 Galatians, Galatians 1:15, 16. That pleases God. For then we can confidently preach the gospel to the unsaved. I just want you to sit there and close your eyes. And I want you to, this is sort of an altar call in song. And just listen to the words.
Dis 'n kwalifiserende faktor. Sê, know is that you have called me, and that I will follow is all I can say. I will go where you will lead me. Your fire lights my way. Though I feel afraid of territory unknown, I know that I can say that I do not stand alone. Jesus, you have promised your presence in my heart. I know I cannot see the ending, but it's here that I must start. And all I know is you have called me, that I will follow is all I can say. I will go where you will. What lies across the waves may cause my heart to fear. Will I survive the day? Must I leave what's known and dear? The ship that's in the harbor is still and safe from harm. But it was not built to be there. It was made for wind and storms. And all I know is you have called me, that I will follow is all I can say. I will go where you will lead me, your fire lights my way.
Father, as we come into your presence, we are reminded of your love for us and that you have called us. You've called us out of this world to belong to you, to come to you to be cleansed, to be washed clean, to be renewed, to become a new creation in you, to be filled with your Spirit, to be called your children, to have an inheritance with your Son for eternity. Our Lord, we thank you for this great grace you had towards us and that you still have to this very day. Our Lord, we are mindful of the fact that your heart, your desire is to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that you have given us this truth, the same truth by which we are saved, the gospel, the love of your Son, the grace of his death,